Hey, good morning everybody. It's great to see you, and welcome. Especially, it's our birthday. So happy birthday everybody. Yeah, not your physical birthday of course, it's Pentecost Sunday. And we therefore are part of the birth of the church, which is fantastic. So it's our birthday, so we need to just rejoice and thank God for that. Thought I'd just start though. Let's set the scene. Let's put into context that which we are doing. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says this: on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. That's something which we can't do at the moment. However, suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And that is the starting point for the birthing of the church and all that God wanted to do. So very, very significant time. So welcome to our party. We're not going to be able to rejoice too much because we are limited, but let's commit our time to God, shall we? Let's pray. So Father, on this, our birthday, and the birthday of your church, we want to thank you, Lord, for sending your Spirit amongst us and upon us. And we pray that, Lord, as William Booth said, we need another Pentecost. So Lord, come, send your Holy Spirit afresh upon us today. In our homes, wherever it is we're watching, Lord, we pray that you come and meet with us. So we give you this time, and may it be to your glory, and may we just enter into a deeper relationship with you because of all you've done, Jesus. We pray this and thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. Okay, just a few sort of announcements, if I could. We're a bit different today. We've got Dave Brock with us, and I'll introduce him, and we'll see and hear him a bit later. We're also beginning a coffee time today, which is a bit different, which is going to be like via Zoom, and that's going to be after the service. But I'm afraid you can't just drop in. We did send out some information earlier. If you want to register for next week, then you can. But just for those who've already registered, it'd be great to see you at about 11:30. That would be brilliant. If you want to get in touch with us, by the way, and Emmanuel, and stay in touch with these sorts of things which are happening, then do drop us an email, leave us a message even on here, and we'll pick it up. But we'll make sure that you get onto our family email list. So do that. This coming Wednesday, we've got our 24 hours of prayer again, as we're going to be sharing with others, other churches across the town, and the house of prayer. There won't be any worship on Wednesday this week, though. Adam's having a bit of a break, but there may be a reflection or something, maybe from me, or we may have some time of prayer. We're working on that. Keep your eyes on Facebook. We'll also email out to keep you up to speed with that one. And of course, next Sunday, we're here again at 10 o'clock, and we've got communion again. It's the first Sunday of the month for us. So make sure you get your bread and your wine ready for that. Okay, I think that's it. I'm going to hand you over to Rich for leading us in some worship. Bless you.
Hello there, you all right? It's good to be with you this morning. I'm just putting some things in the right place. And, here we are. And we're going to have a bit of time of worship this morning. So the words are going to come up on the screen. If you know them, sing along. If you don't, join in anyway and have some fun. Okay, let's let the neighbours know that it's the church's birthday today. Okay, here we go.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are, to worship. Come, just as you are before the Lord. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before the Lord. Come. One day tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to just as you are before the Lord.
Here on the earth, and I can see no evil.
God is with me, and if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. A light that is coming for a heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yeah, I can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on, and there will be an end troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord. Never let go of me.
Father God, thank you for that promise that you never let go. Jesus, you've promised that you will continue to build your church until it's ready, that not even the gates of hell can stand against it. And Lord, as we celebrate Pentecost today, the day where the church really started, where you sent your Holy Spirit to help us, I just pray that even though we can't be together today, you'd help us to worship you, to feel connected to you and to each other, to praise you and to enjoy all of your goodness. Amen. Amen. Okay, the screen hadn't frozen, I just had to run from outside to inside, because today, for the kids' talk, we're going to be doing something a bit exciting. Hopefully it's going to work, but we need to remember that we need to be careful when playing with, well not playing, when using tools. Okay, so normally I'd use a knife for this, but I bought a great big file because it's not sharp, I can't hurt myself, and I brought something very special with me. I don't know if you can see it. This is my ferro rod, and it's a bit like a match. Now, I know that lots of you boys and girls have had fire men or women come into your saw, and they've taught you some very clever words, which are, matches lighters never touch, they can hurt you very much. And we never play with lighters, we never play with matches, we never muck around with candles or any of these things, because as we've seen in the news, fire can be really dangerous. Some people went and had a barbecue in Wareham Forest, and they left their hot barbecue on the ground, and before they knew it, the forest was up in smoke. And fire can be a really dangerous thing. Fire can be a really seriously dangerous thing. And actually, people lose their houses, they lose the contents of their homes. Sometimes people die. And in Wareham Forest, acres and acres of land have been destroyed because people were very careless with fire. But Pentecost, the day we're thinking about today, the church's birthday, is a bit like a fire. Because it starts off very small and then it grows. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to see this on the screen, but this striker here, if I flick it, you can see little sparks coming off. In fact, I'll come right up to the camera. Okay, you should be able to see some sparks coming off of this rod. Now, these sparks aren't really hot enough to cause any damage. You know, if I was to spark it onto, see, it's not going to start a fire on its own, but that little tiny spark with a bit of help and the right conditions, hopefully, is going to grow into a fire. Now, I've got a big bottle of water here to put it out with afterwards. Okay, and what I've got is I've got something very special here called a King Alfred's cake. Okay, it's a fungus. It grows on trees. You find it on ash. And what's very special about this fungus is it's made of lots of little circles, and actually they catch a spark really well. So I'm just going to see if I can get one of my sparks to land onto my King Alfred cake. Just going to put it down here in this little nest I've made and see if I can land one of my sparks onto this King Alfred's cake. Okay, so I can show you what happens. Whoop, send it flying, that's what happens. Live TV. Here you go, this worked perfectly in the practice. They always do. Oh, it's not sparking now. Okay, pin it down with that. Here we go, let's use a foot. So you're trying to get a little spark to land on that mushroom, that bit of fungus. And if it does, it will start to glow. This is the thing in TV, it's not rubbing two sticks together. That doesn't, there we go, there we go, that's getting... Got one? No, not got one yet. Come on. Mark says I've got 10 minutes for my slot, and it might be 10 minutes of this if we're not lucky. Come on. Okay, that doesn't seem to want to catch, so I'm just going to cheat just for the sake of time. Okay, and inside this little ferro rod, I've got something else, which normally works a little bit better. Okay, it's a cotton wool bud. Okay, I'm a bit disappointed I'm having to cheat, but just for the sake of time, if I was in the woods doing my bushcraft, I'd be out here playing around for hours, making it get right. There's a lot of wind here. Don't know if you can see it, but there's a lot of a breeze, so if I just get this to catch instead. Okay, there we go. So that little spark, as you can see, makes a little flame. And if we put that in my little bushcraft pot where I make my cups of tea and my dinner, okay, with some nice shavings, what you'll get, very quickly actually, very quickly, see, that little tiny spark turns into a big, serious, serious flame. Okay? And Pentecost is a lot like that. Jesus told his friends and his disciples to go and wait in a room, and he was going to send someone very special, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, he looked like tongues of fire on their head. Okay, I'm not putting out the Holy Spirit, I just don't want to get in trouble with the neighbours or in the trouble with the fire department. And that little spark started something big, because some scared fishermen, some scared disciples, some people who'd been very worried about following Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came, like a little tiny spark, it landed... not like on the mushroom, but landed on the cotton wool bud. Those people burst into energy. And they went out and they changed the world. And that day, the church went from a couple of hundred people to 3,000. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is a little spark, part of God, who comes and lives in us. And when he hits us, he changes our lives. Not in the way that Wareham Forest burnt down, not in a destructive, horrible, dangerous way, but in a wonderful way. Like a nice fire at Christmas time, like toasting marshmallows, like being warm and safe. Okay, God is like a good fire. And when his little spark lands in us, it changes us, and we can do amazing things. Now that tiny barbecue at Wareham Forest did a lot of damage. But that little spark of the Holy Spirit, he changed the world. Because fishermen and tax collectors and poor people, when they got the Holy Spirit, they changed the world. And the reason we're here today in Swanage, or wherever you are watching this, talking about Jesus, is because that little spark has gone round the world for thousands of years, changing lives and changing people. Okay, the fire's out, everything's safe here. I'm going to head back inside and we're going to sing a song about a fire that God puts in us to help us be excited for him. Okay, right, we're back in the room. Okay, the fire's out. We did all of that outside so that the smoke alarms wouldn't go off. Okay, we've all behaved. Now remember, never play with matches or lighters. If you want to do any experiments or anything like that, you must have your mummy, daddy, or whoever looks after you with you. Okay, so I've been doing bushcraft and bits and pieces for about 10 or 12 years now, and we always have to be very, very careful when using tools and using fire. So, more importantly, the Holy Spirit is a special fire who comes from God to change our lives. Now, we're going to sing a song. Now, the most important part of this song, if you're little, okay, is a bit which goes, oh, okay? So I'm just going to teach you that bit. Out of breath running out there. Here we go. Okay, so this... Okay, so this is the bit I want you to do, okay? So Alfred, Max, okay, Sahara, Nico, Rosa, little people watching at home, this is the bit I want you to join in with, okay, if the other words are too big. Okay, it goes... Oh, 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 oh. Okay, perfect. So I'll let you know when that bit happens, okay? We're going to start with it, sing some words, and do it again. Oh, 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 oh.
There's a fire that burns inside, and nothing can stop us. We'll be running through the night with a fire that burns inside, with a fire that burns inside. 'Cause we are the freedom generation, singing of mercy. And you are the one who set us all in motion. Yours is the glory. Oh, there's a fire in our hearts and it burns for you. It's never gonna fade away. 'Cause we are the free and yours is the glory. Oh, oh, oh. Living alive in you, and our passion will not die. No, our passion will not die, and nothing can stop us. We'll be running through the night, and our passion will not die. No, our passion will not die, 'cause we are the freedom generation. Singing of mercy, and you are the one who set us all in motion. Yours is the glory. Oh, there's a fire in our hearts and it burns for you. You're never gonna fade away, 'cause we are the free and yours is the glory. Oh, 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 oh. Gonna fade away. Oh, there's a fire. gonna fade away. One more time. Oh, there's a fire in our hearts and it burns for you. It's never gonna fade away. Cause we are the free and yours is the glory. Oh, 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 oh.
Mark.
Well, not for very long. Isn't that brilliant? Oh my word, talk about sort of pressure trying to get a fire going. Anyway, there you go. He does it every week. He puts himself under such pressure, but isn't that brilliant? Absolutely brilliant. So yeah, let's set the fire of God's Spirit alive in our hearts. Thanks for that, Rich. As I said earlier, we've got our friend, long-term Swanage guy, Dave Brock, who's going to be speaking to us via technology in a moment or two. But I caught up with him a bit earlier this week and asked him to tell us something about what's happening with the 24/7 and the Swanage House of Prayer. So this is our interview. Okay, Dave, it's good to have you with us. Great to see you. So tell us, remind us about the whole wider vision of 24/7, and then where you see yourselves, you and Sarah at the moment, and the Swanage part in all of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, 24/7 prayer movement, is there just this movement, and they're completely radical about uniting everybody and rallying up everyone and, you know, fanning into flames, not just for revival, but for like the next great awakening, you know, so that kind of floats my boat. It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's all kind of, if you go on their website, you know, you've got all of their, what we do, who we are. And a lot of that stuff's not different from any sort of church or any other kind of organization. But there's one little phrase that says we're kind of like, we're committed to building all our communities on biblical foundations, remembering the church was born in a place of prayer when the Holy Spirit came in power, you know, Pentecost.
Yeah.
You know, and how that kind of spilt out into this mobilization that, you know, change the world.
So where do you see it all sort of coming together for Swanage for you now, and Mizpah and stuff?
Well, the weird thing about the 24/7 prayer thing, when we joined up with those guys and, you know, we joined them in the January and they said, well, God told us you were coming in November, so that's nice. So, yeah, we came along with two other houses of prayer on the South Coast, which was a prophetic word they had. And the way I see it working with Swanage is, from a very practical point of view, we're offering a prayer room to the Church of Swanage and Purbeck. You know, somewhere people can come and pray and, you know, just come and meet with God and spend that one-on-one time with him. And the natural part of that will spill out into action.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, you're well known, in one sense for this whole vision of the wave breaking the shore of the town and coming through the bay and the visuals, and you've shared that at BBC before. So, how does that all fit in, do you feel, with the 24/7, vision?
When we first went along to, wildfires, they did the first year of wildfires, which is run by 24/7 prayer, straight off the back of Big Church Day Out.
Okay.
We turned up there for the first time, and this was the first time we kind of was going to meet anyone in the flesh, as it were. We had meetings planned. Yeah. And we turned up to the first meeting, and Tim Hughes is doing the worship. And what I liked was they said straight away, if the Holy Spirit wants to do something, we'll just it can interrupt our plans if he likes.
Right.
Well, second song in, he did. Everything stopped, and two people got up and gave prophecies. And the second prophecy was by a lady. And she said, I see this wave of the Holy Spirit hitting the south coast of England and just going over the whole nation. And we just sat there and looked at each other and went, yeah, we're in the right place. And, you know, even there's a really good quote we read in one of their early books. The quote was really lovely. I've just written it out here. So it's, God's mission is to save lost humanity is the central theme of Scripture. Jesus Christ is key to it all. All of our discipleship, worship and prayer is part of this great mission. The heart of 24/7 is to bring prayer and mission together, to do this in a way that flows out of the instincts and culture of the emerging generations. I've been in and around 24/7 prayer since it started, run by a bunch of nobodies, surfing the waves of the spirit and making it up as they went along. And he goes on to say, let's see where these waves take us. And that's by Roger Ellis.
Yeah. Long-term friend for everybody.
So you know Roger, yeah?
Yeah.
So he was the director of Fusion, former leader of Revelation Church, and he's kind of one of our connections with 24/7 prayer. But when I read that, I was like, okay.
So what happens when you gather on a Wednesday night? What's the nature of it? And how can EBC folk get involved in that if they want to?
Oh, that's right. So if EBC folks want to get involved, yeah. So what happens on a Wednesday night at the moment is obviously we can't meet in the building where we've been meeting. So at the moment we're doing like a Zoom meetings. We've joined with Swanage Churches Together and we do 24 hours of prayer on a Wednesday and we take the 8 till 10 slot. So it's a little bit of, we all meet with a good cup of tea to start with. So yeah, we meet up, we chat about what God's been doing, we worship, we're going to do a bit of time of worship, we enthrone God in the place.
Yeah.
And then we dive into prayer and we pray for all the churches, we pray for you, we pray for the worship teams, we pray for all the ministry teams, pray for the leadership, pray for the Wave youth and the Wave kids, we pray for all the churches in Swanage. And, we've got members of like 4 different churches that come along, and we've kind of opened it up a lot more now. So if you want to come along to any of these meetings, you can do it via Zoom. So if you email msparswanage@gmail.com, we'll send you an invite and you can come on in.
Okay. And how do you want support? How can we, as a church even, if people wanted to, support you at this point?
Well, first and foremost, prayer. Pray for us.
Yeah.
The Christian war, is it like, against the enemy is the only battlefield where, the men take their wives and their children with them.
Yeah.
We're all on the front line. So, we need prayer. And also, people want to just come along and get involved. I mean, that'd be great. I mean, even if you don't want to come along to these Wednesday night meetings, we can turn all our houses of prayer into a house of prayer at the moment.
Absolutely.
Everything has stopped.
Yeah.
We've got way more time to pray than ever before.
Yeah.
That invitation, I think we've never had more time to do this.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Well, thanks, Dave, for that. That's given everybody a bit more of a background to it. And looking forward to hearing from you in a bit. Bless you.
That's wonderful, isn't it? It's good to see what else is going on in Swanage and in the area. Now, some people have already been saying in the comments about how faithful God is and how good he is, and our next song definitely speaks of that. It is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thy grace.
faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need.
Okay, thanks for that, Rich. Yeah, God's faithfulness, brilliant. The last few weeks, we've been trying to catch up with different members of our church family, being as we've all been distanced. What we thought would be really nice is, on Pentecost Sunday, is to ask somebody to come and share something of what it is and what the Holy Spirit means to them. So Caroline is going to do a doorstep testimony for us now. And thanks to Doug Clutterbuck for his production and his film in here. Brilliant.
Oh, hi there. What can you say about somebody who thought you were interesting and good enough and wonderful enough to die for and wants to spend eternity with you? I discovered Jesus as a young woman, having been brought up in a Christian household. But my relationship with him has ebbed and flowed. But I'm now in a period of my life where I just need him more and more. And I just find that having Jesus in my life just enriches it. All the colours are more vivid, I see. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that really makes a difference, because when you start to see and hear by the Holy Spirit, you see as God sees. I mean, just a tint of it, you know, it's not the full picture, which I'm really looking forward to. But you see the beauty, which is easy here in this place, and you see the great creation and the detail and the attention, and you see wonderful people and how they were meant to be. But you also see how they've been damaged and how they've been captured and deceived and harmed and abused. And so the passion for both sides goes. You see the goodness more, but you see the evil in this world. And it just makes me so angry when we see poverty and injustice. And Jesus, just throughout the Bible, it really touches me. Whenever you read in the Gospels, Jesus looked with compassion, and you can see his anger at the money changers, at the religious hypocrites who exploited people and trapped them. God created us for freedom, complete freedom, and to be completely who we are. And it's as we come closer, and as I've come closer to Jesus, I've discovered more and more who I was designed to be. Going right back to Psalm 139, God created me not as an accident but as an individual, and so everything that I become through becoming close to God is more authentic, is more the real me. And so often people are afraid of religion or that Jesus will take over their lives. But that is just so untrue. That's another lie of the enemy. That as you get closer to Jesus, and as I've got closer to Jesus, I've become more the real, original, God-designed creation. And enjoying just that relationship and that fellowship so much. And the fact that you know, even on your bad days, when you feel grotty, when you don't feel worthwhile, that there's somebody rooting for you, just makes you keep going. But more than in a slogging sense, in a positive and vibrant sense. And as I get older, now I've just been 61, but I know that that plan of action is going to be there to my last breath. I'm not going to just be put aside like the world sometimes does, or cast away, but that I will be an active, moving part of God's community and God's kingdom until my last breath. And then I get the ultimate prize of being with God and just knowing the full extent of that love. And so I am just so grateful and so thankful for being made alive with my relationship with God.
I just love that. Thank you so much, Caroline. That's so encouraging. Bless you. Okay, we're going to turn to Dave now. So let's just a quick word of prayer as we then listen to Dave's. Father God, open our hearts and our minds and our spirits, I pray, as we hear your word. And your blessing may it fall upon us and each one of us, and upon Dave and Sarah too. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's lovely to be back with the family today, even though it's only through a screen. We know many of you, some of you as close to us as family, and we have the privilege of working with some of you. But for those of you that don't know myself or my wife, I'm Dave Brock from Mizpah Ministries, and you'll meet Sarah in a minute. And Mizpah Ministries has got a couple of components to it. The first part is One Door Cinema Club. We're a team that shows secular films around the country, and we talk about the things of God. Basically what Paul did in Athens with stone idols, we do with Hollywood idols. The other part of the ministry is Mizpah, the Swanage House of Prayer. We're in the process of setting up this prayer room for the Church of Swanage and Purbeck. And we are currently in the Year of Embrace with the 24/7 prayer movement. I'm sure they need no introduction. But today is a special birthday today. It's the birthday of the Church of Jesus. So happy birthday, Church of Jesus. It's Pentecost Sunday. Now, if you're watching this, if you've never been to church before, and you're just logging in for the first time, you have no idea what I'm on about, I'll tell you a story that changed the world. And it all started in a prayer room. Now, 2,000 years ago or so, there was a Jewish celebration in Jerusalem called Pentecost. It's also called the Feast of Weeks, also known as the Feast of Shavuot. Pentecost means 50 in Greek, and it took place 50 days, exactly 50 days, after another festival called Passover. So out of the seven feasts of Moses, we read in Deuteronomy 16:16, three required mandatory attendance by every able-bodied Jew. So out of the seven feasts, three you had to be in Jerusalem for. And they also attracted Jewish pilgrims from all over the world. The first one of these was the Feast of Passover, which I just mentioned. And they had lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread, which sounds like an order from the kebab shop. The other one's the Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths, also known as Sukkoth. And that was at the end, and that was quite intense, because they made tents. And in the middle was a strange one called the Feast of Weeks. And it was unusual in that they had leavened bread. In particular, they were called two-wave loaves, made of newly harvested wheat. Leviticus 23:20, the priest shall wave them, the bread of the first fruits, as a wave offering before the Lord. Two waves, sounds familiar, doesn't it, EBC? So Exodus 34:22, you shall observe the Feast of Weeks of the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the Feast of Ingathering at the Year's End. So essentially, it was kind of a Thanksgiving service, very much like our Harvest Festival. And the nation of Israel was an agricultural nation, and this was their festival to declare their dependence on God. And it also later became known as the Feast of the Giving of the Law, as the ancient rabbis calculated and concluded that Moses was given the law by God at Pentecost. So happy birthday to the church and Judaism. But it was also incredibly prophetic in nature, as Pentecost foreshadowed the beginning of a new harvest, which we'll hear about in a minute, the beginning of the first fruits. And this particular Pentecost, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, it had been a very strange time, particularly at the recent Passover festival. So 50 days before, Jerusalem experienced the Passover like never before. Jesus of Nazareth presented himself as the Messiah, as the King of the Jews, when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he'd been stirring up Israel for about 3 years with all the amazing goings on and his followers. And he publicly entered and made this declaration of who he was. He was not long after arrested, tried in three illegal courts. He was found innocent, yet he was still executed. He was crucified. And he died and was laid to rest in a tomb, just as he predicted. He also predicted he'd rise from the dead, which he did 3 days later. And Jesus appears 11 times to over 500 people, and he tells his 120 followers to go to an upper room in Jerusalem and wait for someone else that he's sending to them. Who's he sending? He sends the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells his disciples and his followers who he is, it's the Holy Spirit, and what his mission is. Now, John 16:13, we read, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth," this is Jesus telling his disciples, "has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Now, the Holy Spirit is active through all the scriptures of the Old Testament, Genesis 1:1-2, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters." And the Holy Spirit is also shown in prophetic types and models in the Old Testament. This is a particular interest to me. I love all this. For example, with the story of Abraham, Isaac. Abraham is the father. He's a father type. Isaac is the son, as in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is usually in the role of an unnamed servant. In Genesis 24, Abraham, the father type, gets his servant, the Holy Spirit, to get the bride, the church, for Isaac, the son, Jesus. And earlier in Genesis, a couple chapters before, we find the name of the servant is actually Eliezer, which means comforter. And in John 14:16, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and another comforter he will give to you, and he will remain with you to the age." So it's kind of another title of the Holy Spirit. And also there's another one. Ruth, the Gentile bride, Book of Ruth. The Gentile bride is us, introduced to Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, which is Jesus. And an unnamed servant, the Holy Spirit. Because it says, remember, he won't speak on his own authority. Yet he's in the scriptures, and he's modelled in these types. But this was a very different event. So in Acts 1-8, the resurrected Jesus tells his followers, "But you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then there's a prayer meeting like never before. When they return to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. There was Peter, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, Jesus the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James, not the other one. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And it says at one point in verse 15, that in these days Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples, although the number of the names was about 120. So we see there's about 120 people in this upper room, all in this amazing prayer meeting. And then we see what happens next in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 2 to 43.
Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
The crowd's response. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marvelled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear, each in their own language, each in our own language, in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those who dwelt in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Thyatira and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya among Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God." So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine."
But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams.
And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven, above the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and the vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken."
Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will have made known to me the ways of life. You have made me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David. For he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he, of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne.
He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?
Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The vital church grows, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day were about 3,000 souls added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' teaching, doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Wow. I love that. Amazing end to a prayer meeting, don't you think? They went from 120 followers in a small house church, to a 3,000 mega church in one day, which suddenly burst into the Holy Spirit filled missionaries. This is the other thing that happened. So within weeks and months, mainly thanks to many, many straight Roman roads, the gospel about Jesus would have been taken with this outpouring of the Holy Spirit into virtually all the Roman Empire and beyond. And this good news was that Jesus had died for the forgiveness of our sins and had made a way for us to reconcile to God, the Father, since the separation with Adam and Eve, when they were deceived by Satan and they sinned. The long-awaited Messiah had indeed come and reconnected not only them, but us. So the Holy Spirit started a revival that 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, it's caught up over a third of this planet. So that's about 2.3 billion self-identified followers of Jesus. But looking at how it all started gives us principles into something called revival. A revival is a move of the Holy Spirit that affects not just an individual, but a group, an area, or a region, or a population. The Bible shows before Pentecost there have been these moves before at a place called Mizpah, for instance, and that's in 1 Samuel 7. John the Baptist ministry also. Look back at kings like Josiah, there was a time of renewal and revival. But this was different. This was on a completely different scale. This was different. So we look back at Acts 2:1. They're in one place. They're of one accord. So what you've got there is unity and community. In Acts 2:2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And Pete Gregg makes an interesting point regarding this passage. Isn't that an interesting progression? The Holy Spirit filled the place before he filled the people. The ancient Celtic Christians understood very well that the Holy Spirit can saturate places as well as people, describing such sacred sites evocatively as thin places. So this prayer meeting at Pentecost naturally spilled out into evangelism, signs and wonders. And when we get to Acts 2, right to the last, verse 41, we see the lost get saved. Now, was this a one-off event? Well, I'll give you one example of where that really wasn't. In 1722, Count Ludwig von Zinzendorf, brilliant name, opened his estate to the persecuted Moravian Christians. So these refugees came to a place called Hernhut, and he set up a community there. There's only about 300 of them. And over 5 years, this little Christian community developed quite a lot of infighting, real bitter divisions amongst them, till finally Zinzendorf calls them all to the local church. And he instigates really a renewal of their relationships. And he calls them to the church to ask for a renewed call to unity. So this was on the 13th of August, 1727. So as they publicly apologised for allowing a critical and divisive spirit to damage their relationships and committed themselves to unity, the Holy Spirit came and moved so powerfully that some of the 300 congregations staggered from the building, hardly able to stand. This overflow of this event, which they kind of called the Moravian Pentecost, it started off a prayer meeting in a prayer room that went round the clock, 24 hours a day, and it lasted over 100 years. And within 5 years, it overspilled into world mission and social transformation. So this Moravian Pentecost exploded out all across the globe. You hear amazing stories of some of them selling themselves into slavery so they can preach to the slaves in plantations. And on their travels, as they dispersed everywhere, they met this English guy called John Wesley, who noticed something very different about these believers during a storm one night on the ship. Well, he was fascinated with these guys. He went back to Fetter Lane Church in London, where they had a church, where he famously journaled, "His heart was strangely warmed as he experienced the Holy Spirit." Wesley would then go to Zinzendorf and model the whole Methodist movement on the prayer room principle. His boiler room of prayer was central to the Methodist movement, which brought about a great awakening in England and Wales. And John Wesley visited Swanage, as we know. And on his second visit, he was a little bit more encouraging than the first. He said here, "If the labourers here in Swanage are zealous and active, they will surely have a plentiful harvest." Now, people are praying like never before. People are attending church online in greater numbers than ever before. This nation is indeed shaken. In 24/7 prayer, we've committed to building all communities on biblical foundations, remembering the church was born in a place of prayer where the Holy Spirit came in power. Mission was mobilized from that encounter to the ends of the earth. So it's no different to Pentecost, no different. The only thing, it starts with going in to God, in and up, and then it explodes out. I love this quote by Dick Eastman. "Real revival is frequently, if not always, the result of the manifest presence of God upon his people. The thin place." That's what we're after. So, Miss Parlour Swanage House of Prayer, over the last 2 years, we've opened up our Wednesday nights for worship and intercessory prayer. We pray for leaders like Mark. We pray for your leadership. We pray for your worship teams, your prophets, the ministry teams, and each fellowship within the Church of Swanage and Purbeck. Also for Swanage, but also for the waves of revival God has shown so many of us to impact not just this area, but this nation. I've sent an updated wave prophecy document with the latest confirmations to Mark. If you want one, ask him. He'll gladly send you one. And I love this quote here. "The real business of your life is intercessory prayer. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work." Oswald Chambers. Intercession is simply prayer offered on behalf of another. So on Wednesdays, we join with the Swanage churches together as part of the 24 hours of prayer, and we host the 8 till 10 slot. You're more than welcome to join us. Just email us for a Zoom invite. The email address is there. But more importantly, join him, who calls us to partner with him. Jesus is calling us to advance his kingdom in this place, to pray for the needs now, for this pandemic, but pray for the eternal needs, pray for revival. So let's pray now a prayer from the great C.H. Spurgeon. "God, send us a season of glorious disorder. Oh, for a sweep of the wind that set the seas in motion, and make our ironclad brethren now lying so quietly at anchor to roll from stem to stern. Oh, for the fire to fall again, fire which shall affect the most solid. Oh, that such fire might first sit upon the disciples and then fall on all around. Oh God, thou art ready to work with us today, even as thou didst then. Say not, we beseech thee. Stay not, we beseech thee, but work at once. Break down every barrier that hinders the incoming of thy might. Give us now both hearts of flame and tongues of fire to preach thy reconciling word for Jesus' sake. Amen."
Thank you very much, Dave. It's so good to see what is going on in wider Swanage and the world and in history, and to see that Pentecost is something that is still happening and something that we're still looking to see more of. We're going to finish our service with this song, Build Your Kingdom Here, asking Jesus to establish his church and to continue what is going on now. Here we are.
Set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Down our lives for heaven's goal. We are your church, and we may revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets. Church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far, no force of hell can stop. Your beauty changing heart, you made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us, fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church, and we are the hope.
Jesus, build your kingdom here. Please set us, set our hearts on fire, warm them, move us to care about the things you care about. Help us to serve our town and our country in these trying times, and help us to seize the opportunity to bring you into each and every situation. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to close our service now with the words of the grace, and the Bauman family from up at Godlingston Manor are going to lead us in those words. So join with them. And then if you're joining the Zoom, we'll see you in a bit. And if not, we'll see you at other points in the week.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.